Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
We are in Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, beginning in verse 26. Luke chapter 8, verses 26 through 39. This is God's word. They sailed to the region of the Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had commanded the evil spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him. And they begged him repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into them, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. Then those tending the pigs saw what had happened. They ran off and reported this in the town and the countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people of the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat and left. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. This is a very powerful story. It is, as we remind you over and over, this is a true story. This is not a myth. This is something that actually happened. You say, "Well, I've never seen anything like that." Well, the reason this is recorded is because it's extraordinary. The demons and their manifestation are not nearly as extraordinary as the solution, and we're going to talk about that. But Jesus and his disciples sailed across the Sea of Galilee to a place that good Jewish people didn't go. This was a bad neighborhood. This is a place where swine were kept. It was not the hangout of the religious Jew. It was on the other side, away from Galilee. And When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a man from the town, a man who was demon-possessed. What does that mean? Well, do you know what a demon is? A demon is a fallen angel. It is one of those spirits, a creation, like everything else other than God. We're all created things. Angels are created things. Satan is a created being. He hasn't always been. God has always been. Satan has not always been. But some of the demons, some of the angels, I should say, rebelled against God, and following their leader, Satan, Lucifer, they were cast out of heaven, and they are wreaking havoc in the earth, but they know that their time is limited, and they know that their destiny is in the place called hell. And they are not wanting to go there. That's why they're saying to Jesus, please don't throw us into the abyss. In another place, Jesus encounters a demoniac, and the evil spirit says, have you come to torment us before the time? In other words, we thought we had more time left to do the bad things that we do, but now you're here. What's going on? So this fellow, when it says possessed by an evil spirit, it means that that evil spirit, or in this case, those evil spirits, were basically in control of this man's life. Have you ever had something else that seemed to just kind of take over in your body? Pastor Wood, what are you asking here? Well, I'll give you an example. How many of you have ever faced a food that seemed to call your name and say, more, more, more? Okay? All right. That isn't demon possession. But it's the idea that something else that is outside me seems to get inside of me and make me do things I wouldn't do otherwise, like eating more. You know what else can do that to you? Rage, anger. You read in the scriptures about people who were filled with anger. When we talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit, that means that the Holy Spirit is in control. When we talk about being filled with anger, it means the decisions being made are being made not by our logic and reasoning, not by the Holy Spirit, but by anger. We're letting anger control us. Well, demons can control people. And they are not like chocolate. They are not like anger, in that they are literal entities, souls without bodies. And they have intelligence, and they can communicate, and they can get into people's lives and wreak havoc. Now, the way that that happens is that people are just walking down the street one day, and a demon goes, whoomph, and jumps inside them. Do you think? No, that's not the way that happens. The way it happens is that that person yields control to that demon. The person does something to turn control over to an evil spirit. And that spirit begins to exert authority, begins to give them direction, and they do what it says instead of what God says. One of the most common afflictions in terms of a spiritual being that attacks people and keeps them from doing the right thing and gets them to do the wrong thing is a spirit of fear. And the Bible tells us God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of self-control. We haven't been made slaves again to a spirit of fear, it says elsewhere in Romans 8, But instead, we've been given a spirit of sonship, spirit of adoption, whereby we call him Daddy, Abba, Father. If you're in Christ, you're not demon-possessed, but you can definitely still have an area in your life that's in bondage to the enemy. If you don't believe me, read Ephesians, where we are warned against giving the devil a foothold. If you give the devil a place to stand in your life, he will leverage that to do all the damage that he can. So this guy was demon-possessed. He did not know the Lord yet. And there were a bunch of evil spirits that had gotten control of him. He actually has a companion. If you read over in Matthew's gospel, it talks about two guys who were living among the tombs. Mark tells us just about the one. Luke tells us just about the one. Does that mean Matthew was wrong or that these guys were wrong? No, it means they zeroed in. There were two guys living among the tombs based on what we know from Matthew's account. This guy is the focus of our story as inspired by God. And this man was demon-possessed, and he had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. People in the town had tried to restrain him from doing some of the things he was doing. Mark tells us that he was cutting himself with stones. Did you know that there were people who cut themselves back in Jesus' day? Yeah. And it was motivated by evil forces that want people to hurt themselves. Let me tell you the main point for today. Satan seeks to destroy life. Jesus Christ is Lord. Satan seeks to destroy life. The Bible tells us that Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And we're going to see that played out here. This guy was cutting himself with stones, we read in Mark's gospel. He was hurting himself. He was doing things that were self-destructive. Is it possible to do that with chocolate? Yes, actually it is. If you speed in your car, overeat in your kitchen, if you eat and drink a bunch of stuff that's bad for you instead of good for you, if you explode your relationships so that you end up isolated like this man was, it can be because you're listening to the voice of the enemy who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And if you look at what happened when Jesus cast the demons out of this man, because there were a bunch of them, when Jesus cast them out, they went into the pigs, and the pigs ran around in circles, okay? Just made fools of themselves. No, the pigs immediately charged down the embankment into the water and drowned themselves. Why? Because Satan seeks to destroy life. He's a destroyer. He can't create anything. God is the creator. Satan distorts the creation. He seeks to destroy the creation, but he needs our cooperation. Can't do it on his own. And so he suggests things to us, and if we do what he says instead of what God says, the results are destructive. And there are a lot of people who end up isolated and crazy because they step by step followed the suggestion of the evil one. Our first encounter with the devil is in the Garden of Eden. And his approach to man then was to question the word of God. Did God really say that? And he twisted what God had said. No, God didn't say that. He said this. Well, that's not true. He will try to get us to doubt the Word of God and then to disobey the Word of God. God had said, we're not to eat the fruit of that tree. But Satan said, oh no, it'll be good for you. And Satan is still using the same ploy today with people everywhere. Oh no, don't go by this book. Are you crazy? You've got to grow beyond that. You can be so much more than that. You don't want to be restricted by a bunch of rules. Anybody who thinks this book is just a bunch of rules has not read the book. This is the story of God's love for people who did break the rules, and God chose to save, to offer eternal life. Here this guy, naked, homeless, and violently opposed to any restrictions on himself. Okay? When they chained him hand and foot, he broke the chains, displaying supernatural strength, the consequence of which was self-destruction. And Jesus says, what is your name? And the spirits answered, Legion, for we are many. A legion was 1,000 troops. Okay? I don't know if this guy, if the demons were just boasting or if there really were 1,000 of them. You can't always believe what the devil says, just so you know. He is a liar and the father of lies. But the demons answered, Legion, for we are many. And they begged him repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. Now, I want to emphasize the fact they begged him. Why would they beg Jesus? Because they knew he's in charge. Jesus Christ is Lord. He's the boss. When Jesus says to the storm in the previous verses, be quiet, what did the storm do? Do you remember when Daniel was thrown into the lion's den? After he was brought out of the lion's den, having been safe through the night, the guys who'd set him up were thrown into the lion's den, and they didn't make it to the floor. Why? Because those lions had been looking at Daniel all night long, and they couldn't touch him. And they had worked up quite an appetite. All right? Well, why was Daniel safe? The Bible says because the Lord closed their mouths. When God says no, the answer is no. That's why it is insanity when we think, I can do that. I can get away with it. I don't think that applies to me. God is totally in control. And if you're doing something that God says you shouldn't do, it's not because God can't stop you. It is because God in his mercy is giving you a chance to take another breath.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. Each one is unique, but all of them are ours. In our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a few moments to encourage us. I want to ask you to do 3 things, in fact. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, and learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we will remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread his word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We are depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
to step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, demons drove the pigs into the lake. They drowned. And when those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this in the town and the countryside. And the people went to see what had happened. And when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out, sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Did they look and say, wow, we couldn't control this guy. This is wonderful. Our mental health program was not able to help him, but now it's great. Our criminal justice system couldn't handle this guy, but now he's fine. They didn't look at that and say, this is a good thing. They looked at that and they said, would you please leave? Please leave our area. Now, I want you to please take note that the demons didn't want to have to leave the area. Mark emphasizes that. They said, please don't send us out of the region. And Jesus allowed them to stay in that area. But when the people from the town show up, they are saying virtually the same thing that the demons had said through that demoniac. And that is, please leave our area. We don't want you in our area. So, are you saying that the people from town were demon-possessed? Well, I'll let you do the homework. Read Ephesians 2, the opening part of which states that all of us were at one time under the control of the forces of darkness, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. You're saying I was demon-possessed? I'm saying that before we knew Jesus, before we were born again, we might not have realized where we were getting our instructions, but it wasn't just our sinful flesh that was controlling things. How many of you have ever done something that was bad, something that was wrong, and then asked yourself the question, why did I do that? Right? I mean, that's our experience. Well, the reason is because we're not in this alone. It's not just us. We are up against forces that are invisible. We see the results, but we don't really recognize the adversary. So they said, please, please leave our region. And Jesus agreed to do so. He got into the boat and he left. But as he's leaving, the demoniac says, please let me go with you. I mean, you've changed my life. And Jesus says, yes, but I've got an assignment for you. I want you to go back and tell your family and your neighbors. Tell them how much God has done for you. So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. All over the Decapolis, Mark writes. The Decapolis is a 10-town area. Okay? This guy was a missionary. And he didn't know a lot of theology, but he knew that Jesus had changed his life. That's what you and I are supposed to be doing. Telling the people where we are about what he's done for us. If you have never cried out to him for mercy, if you've never asked him to set you free from those forces that are bossing you around, don't just ask him to forgive your sins. Ask him to be your Lord and Savior, because Satan seeks to destroy life. Jesus Christ, Lord.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.